Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, dude, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell me listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com, the home for suspension. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Yeah, welcome everybody to Fly Racing Racer X Thunder Valley MX Review. Thank you for watching and listening. Appreciate it. Yeah, the YouTube stuff's going pretty well. I seem really popular with the YouTube comments, so thanks everybody. Appreciate that. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Chance Hymus. I don't know if you saw Chance Hymus at Thunder Valley, but he wears Fly Racing, and that was the reason why he had a perfect day in the 250 motocross class. So thanks to the Chance Hymus, Fly Racing, Cooper Webb, of course, RJ Hampshire. Check out, use the code PULPMX when you check out at Fly Racing, flyracing.com, whether it's the Formula helmet, Evo gear, kinetic mesh. If you want to go 6'6 at your regional, wear kinetic mesh because that's what I did. Use code PULPMX to say thank you to those guys. Renthal, motorsport.com, Maxxis Tires, and Brunt Work Boots all on board with us as well. We'll tell you more about them later on, but we got lots to talk about when it comes to Thunder Valley because it was a pretty awesome first 450 moto. This series so far, six motos down, is delivering. Lots to dive into. In the booth this weekend with James Stewart, in the trailer all day long, probably not interacting with anybody, the Jason Wagon. What's up, Weech?
Yeah, the racing is unbelievable this year, and it's this weird dynamic, right, where Jet Lawrence is, if you look at the scoreboard, it doesn't look exciting at all. He's won all but one moto, he's won all but one overall in his life in the 450 class outdoors, yet at the same time, these are killer races, and then Deegan finally getting beat just makes that class have a little life in it that maybe it didn't look like it was going to have. So overall, pretty epic weekend. And by the way, WMX, they really showed out. They had their chance to perform, and they really did.
I didn't watch WMX. Did the Australian girl win?
No.
Oh, okay. There was low-key buzz about that going in.
Shake so. My head, Steve.
The race delivered.
Period. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Also, from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, it's the Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. It's nice to be home pretty early on a Sunday. I will say that I'll get the show out pretty early. I don't know where Lewis Phillips could possibly say that Thunder Valley National is not amazing on all fronts, because it's one of the best ones we have. I'm not saying it's the best one. It's one of the best ones.
Yeah. It's pretty subjective to which national is the best one, right? There's so many things that go into it, but I was saying that Thunder Valley is up in the rankings up top, and he was not having it. He was absolutely not having it. So we don't know what our friend Lewis, perhaps it was the heat stroke, but it's a great race. The changes to the track seemed to be, from people I talked to, universally loved. I didn't see anybody that said they didn't like what David Claybaugh did, Shane Schaefer did to the track, as far as the rerouting and all that. Everybody seemed to like it. Lots of rain and weather on Friday, and it turned out to be really nice. I thought it was going to be a hell track, like just 6 foot long, 60 foot long ruts, can't get out of them, locked in, you know, that was it, old rut cross, because of the weather, not because of the prep. But man, no, turned out good. The riders had good things to say about the track prep, the track itself, considering the weather. So it was a win-win. Great, great day of racing. Yeah, so I don't know what the Vital MX guys over there are doing, what they're saying, but they're drunk. So yeah, it was a great day of racing.
Lewis was not raving? He didn't think it was that good?
No, he thinks Thunder Valley is on the lower end of the Nationals.
Yeah, I don't know where he could possibly come up with that. But the track was good. You know, when you talk about how it could have been or what you thought it was going to be, I think that's a fair conclusion to draw had it not been for Shane Schaefer and Schaefer Tracks. And I saw him multiple times. I'm sure a lot of it was his crew, maybe some of Dave Claybaugh's people, but they were on the track literally all day. And you know, part of my role is to kind of keep tabs on that and watch for how it's changing. And every single opportunity they had to go out there and work on the track, they were. And you could really tell it made a difference. Some of the sections, I'm telling you, if they had not been so on top of it, it would have been like the Blackwater 100. Honestly, it would have been so incredibly difficult to ride. And so credit to them. They really did a great job of making it the best racetrack possible.
Yeah, it was good. And like I said, the changes were nice. And yeah, Thunder Valley. Underrated, but maybe properly rated now. I don't know. It's fantastic. So, yeah, Jet Lawrence. Look, kind of a replay of Paula a little bit, Moto2, with Eli stalking him until he crashed. And but he just, man, we did that post show, the Twisted Tea post show, and you brought it up, and it's absolutely right. Hey, he's looking vulnerable. Hey, he got passed. Hey, AP's got him. This might be it. He's not a machine. He's a man. But yep. No, he's a machine because he just got it done. But does he look a little more vulnerable? Sure, I guess. But dude, it's just a clinic. It's great to watch. It's really, really impressive. I don't know what else to say about the kid. Yeah.
I don't even know if it's clinic, because I think when you use the word clinic, you think it's like a just so many steps above everyone else, a master class, no one can touch it. This is like a different thing. It's like this performance art of, first, we've spent 3 years trying to figure out the second and a half lead. Can he go faster than that? How much is management? How much more does he have in the tank? Now that's almost, I feel like, gone to an even higher level of, like, is Tomac almost going to pass him or is he not? And then he finally added in, he finally got passed. Someone finally, the dam broke. Plessinger got him. There were times in the first moto where you thought Hunter was going to get him, where Eli was closing in. Second moto, Eli's closing in. It's an even higher level of this. You cannot tell, is he have this under control the whole time or not? Because the result would make it seem like he's repeating it over and over. Like JT, doesn't it make it seem like if you do this 99% of the time, you must clearly be in control the whole time? It just doesn't look like he is.
Yeah, I think in most scenarios, he is in control of the situation. Like the first moto with AP, I think he had to go faster than he really wanted to, but you saw how quickly that he responded to it, you know, and it was really that one out, he kept going outside at the bottom of that hill, and it was, I don't know, at least a full second he was losing there. And then once he switched, he kind of negated any advantage AP had. And then, you know, he talked about it on the podium as well. James Stewart did a great job of explaining it mid-moto of he had these bad lines. As soon as he learned them, the whole situation changed because he had his good sections. He could, and once he made up where he was losing all the time, the whole race changed for him. So I feel like in those moments, he's fairly okay. Like he can change around what he's doing, fix lines. He's still kind of the guy controlling the race. With Tomac, I feel like it's a little bit different, because I feel like Tomac's ceiling of speed is a little higher. And you could tell when those two kind of clicked into the next gear, especially as the like midpoint fatigue sets in. And that's a real thing. Like everybody's sprinting. And then you have to be like, okay, I'm done sprinting. I can't sprint anymore. What's my manageable pace here? For Justin Cooper, for AP, for those guys, it was like 216, 217, 218. Eli and Jet were able to sustain like 213, 214, and then they just started yarding everyone. And then they pulled out like a, you know, I don't know, 30-second lead on everybody else, 15, 20, 30 on 830. It was 30 on AP. Point is that I think those are the only two that can go there and stay there, and that's a little bit more troublesome for Jet. He's not used to having someone who can push him that far, that long, outside of when Chase is having a really good day. So at some point, I think you're going to see Eli, or at multiple points, you're going to see Eli break through, win motos, and Jet's going to be like, hey, I had to settle that moto a la what we saw at Hangtown. But the other guys, I have not seen them be able to take Jet to an area where he can't sustain it or even go past it and pull a manageable gap.
And both brothers said they're happier with their bike. They learned some things testing, so they're getting better there. They both mentioned that it's better. And, I mean, obviously, we're away from Paula. We're away from Hangtown. Different surfaces that cause bikes to react differently. So one would think if it works at High Point and they're happy, then we're going to go to – sorry, if it works at Thunder Valley and they're happy, we're going to go to High Point, and they won't sort of have any issues either, right? Tomac was great, but it's – like we talked about last week, he would have got fourth in the first moto, right? Just a great moto, and he's right there. But without Hunter crashing on the last lap, he gets fourth. So I think like we just said 800 times, I think he can bring it. He's going to bring it here and there, and then we're going to get motos like Paula first moto, and we're going to get a bad start, and we're going to get what we got this weekend. So I think he can push Jet to new levels, but I don't know if he can do enough, Weege.
Well, I love that this theory that I've thrown out here for a decade, you're using it and promoting it so much. However, I'm really trying to not attach Tomac to it, because I have been saying that I think about Tomac maybe since 2021, and I've been proven wrong a lot. Like, even when he switched to the Yamaha, I'm like, we've seen this before. You're grasping for something at the end. Well, he went up to another level, and then this year in Supercross, he was better than he was last year. It was really just the Achilles. He needed a whole year to recover. So I'm really tired. I'm not going to doubt Tomac and even talk about the age thing anymore. I appreciate you doing that, Steve, but I'm not attaching him to that. I think he's really rewriting. Yes, it would have been fourth, but dude, it still was pretty darn good. The head-scratching rides, if anything, are fewer than they even used to be when he was younger.
No, I'm not saying the first moto was not a Tomac head scratcher. It's not one of those. No.
He hasn't had one of those yet. Through six motos, he hasn't had.
I am removing Tomac from the he's good five times a year. He can do the old speed, and then most of the time he's not even close to what he was. I know he's 32. We just have to stop talking about it. He's just about as good to me as he's ever been. I can't take that out. Maybe he's slightly off, but I'm taking all the age stuff out. I appreciate it.
I don't think he's as good as he's ever been. I don't think those outdoor years. I don't think he's as good as on the Cowie, those outdoor years.
But I don't think we're in the stage that I thought he was getting to, which is the Chad can still and Wyndham can still win two Supercrosses a year, and the other 15 races, they're just not contenders.
Yeah.
Tomac's pretty much a contender every time he lines up, even when he gets fourth. It's not like, he's not there with those guys anymore. And the same thing in Supercross this year. I can't attach that anymore. I do wonder, if you're Tomac, are you frustrated over like, damn, I wanted to race this kid so bad. I'm here. I feel good. My bike is good. And damn it, I really can't crack him. Or is it possible to get into a stage of your career where you're like, look, man, I've been there. I've done it. I could be on the couch right now. The thrill of the chase, the challenge, the competition, this kid is good. Even though I lost, is there some fun in it for him? I wonder. Or is he just like, I want to beat this kid so bad and I'm not? That's what I wonder.
I'll take the other side of that. I think Eli, like, second moto, that's the fast, like, that Eli is faster than the Cowie Eli. Like, I think if those two were forced to race each other, the reason I say that is because I think if you look at who they were racing, I believe that Jet is much better than like Marvin Musquin was. That's where I come down on it, right? Yep. So if you're telling me they're going head to head and putting 20 and 30 seconds into the APs and the Hunters and whoever else, Justin Cooper, that's where I'm like, Eli wasn't doing that really. He wasn't putting 30 seconds into Marvin and those guys. Like, he was winning, no question about it. But this guy, I think, is better. And you could say it's the bike. You could say he's better. I don't care what you want to point to. Skill sets evolved, more fitness over years, whatever, doesn't matter. I just think if you had head-to-head, second moto, Eli in 2019 or whatever year you want to pick versus Eli 2025, I think yesterday's Eli would have beat him.
Jets 1-1.
What do you think, Steve? If you're Tomac, are you frustrated? Obviously, you're frustrated. You want to win. But are you like, damn it, this sucks completely? Or is there a part of him that's like, this is why I didn't retire? the thrill of the chase, the competition, this is fun to try to solve this? Or do you think he's just punching his fist through the wall?
Yeah, no, I think the second one. I think he's playing with house money here, right? He's older, coming off injury. You got this phenom, the absolute phenom, and you're giving him a run here and there.
Be happy with that.
Yeah, yeah. It's mind-blowing that, and no hate comms, that Aaron Plessinger has passed Jet Lawrence and Eli Tomek has not.
Yeah.
We're waiting on that. We're waiting on Eli. If Eli would have passed Jet, Thunder Valley would have exploded. It just would have combusted.
On that topic, Stu says this all the time. I think Plessinger really did just catch Jet by surprise that time in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, line helped, like JT said.
Yes. But Stu has said, you notice that Sexton never gets Jet, and Tomac hasn't been able to get him. Stu's theory is Jet knows who he's truly threatened by. Maybe Justin Cooper can go by. Maybe even his brother can go by. Maybe somebody can hole shot and kill it for a while. But he's a little more worried, like, dude, I cannot let Eli or Chase get by. This could be a problem. So Stu thinks it's a little more situational, where he's more on guard with those two guys, probably for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. It's cool to watch. And I think we're in for a bunch more of these races here and there. I think. Go ahead.
I agree. The last thing I would just want to mention before we move on was, we talked about it yesterday on the broadcast, Steve. I'm sure you haven't gotten to watch yet, but the whole point of this is Eli has been great. I do think he's going to win more. I think he'll get an overall somewhere. He's amazing at Southwick. He's amazing at Washougal. There's a lot of opportunity ahead for Eli to find an overall win here. The problem is he's 25 points down through three. That's the problem. Right. And we've talked about how good he's been. No real head scratchers. We haven't had a motor where we're like, I don't know what that was. And we're 25 points down. That to me is the big takeaway from all of this, is it doesn't even have to be about Jet. You know, you can make it about Eli, but it seems like it's about Jet also. Jet's just been relentless with his worst moto has been a third. You know, like, it's really hard to deal with somebody who's going to put that much pressure on everybody.
AP third overall, and is AP still second in the points? The points thing are broken right now. Is he still second?
No, Tomac jumped him.
Tomac jumped him? Okay. Right, yeah. Right. Again, AP really having a nice outdoor season, really, so far. And he said on the show last week, he was on the Pulp Show, he said, just not coming in injured. He's coming in with some momentum, right? So his low point was beginning a Supercross this year, and he's well past that. And then I posed this question, I think, on this show last week, and it this weekend even reinforced it. We got our top five right now. Those guys are breaking away from everybody. They are dropping Cooper Webb, Jorge Prado, RJ, those guys. We have a clear top five, and Justin Cooper and Hunter Lawrence is right in there. You guys, I mean, we saw it again, right?
Yeah, I was surprised with Justin Cooper's first moto wasn't good. I would assume there were probably some bike changes or something, because he was great in qualifying. He's usually great at that track. He wasn't close in the first moto. Second moto was much more of what we've seen this year and what I expected.
Almost like he started better in the second moto, and then he was up there. It was because he was kind of fifth early in the first moto, and then, you know.
Yeah, but didn't he blow by Hunter? Like, that was as aggressive, I think, as I've ever seen Jay Cooper
in moto
450. Two. Like, dude, on those downhills, I was like, I didn't know he could do this.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. But
as you said with Marv back in the day, speaking of Marv, JT, he unzipped his pants. He put the balls on the crossbar.
Oh, wow.
In the first 15 minutes of that second moto.
Yeah, yeah. And I checked in with Rich Simmons, the 450 team manager, and Jay Coop will be running a scoop the rest of the year, maybe forever. Yes, they vowed to this. They vowed to stay with the scoop. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, I talked to Hunter after the race. 4-4 for fifth is a tough beat to go 4-4 for fifth.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all those guys were really good. It was a great day of racing. I was surprised that Hunter and AP got dropped as much as they did in the second moto. Jay Coop hung in there. Not bad, right? 10 seconds back or whatever. But the other guys, yeah. AP especially, like, I was like, whoa. Because, I mean, he was so good first moto. So maybe he just, you know, ran out of energy or something.
You'll like this, Steve. He said on the podium that they changed the bike, and they should have left it alone.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. That goes into the Paula, why didn't you run a scoop? Yeah, I don't know, man. So,
well, can I throw this one in? This is hilarious. If you folks watch the post-race press conference, Johnny Hopper's in there and asks Aaron, hey, theoretically, Tomac has already signed with KTM and he's going to be your teammate next year. What do you think about that? Theoretically. And AP's pretty much like, yeah, brother, it's going to be awesome. I've had such great teammates. This is going to be great.
No, he didn't.
Tomac
no,
just
he didn't.
Sitting there probably like, bro, what are you doing?
That's
he pretty
so
much
AP.
Said, I've got to ride with Dungy. I've had Caroli as my teammate. I've had Cooper Webb. I've had Chase Sexton. This is going to be awesome, brother.
No, he didn't. Did he really? Oh, wow.
I don't think there was even maybe 2% of like, I can't speak on this. What I didn't. Oh, AP is a gem. Now, what I didn't do, I need to go back and watch and study Tomac's facial expressions as AP is saying this.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
wow,
brother. It's going to be awesome.
That's great. That's awesome. God bless AP. I mean, honestly, like Hopper's cool, but don't put those guys in that position to do that. It's not like.
No, because you know AP's getting in trouble right now.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
He's getting in trouble.
Yeah.
He was trying to be cool and he was telling what he thinks. But for whatever reason, I don't know what the deal with the sport is. They don't want people to talk about it. It's super dumb.
Yep.
But you know he's getting in trouble.
Yep.
Guys, I mean, watch too many. These people watch too many White House press briefings.
The PR team side of our sport sucks in many ways. Some are good, many times it sucks.
Yep.
To try to get answers, to try to get people to do anything. The tail wags the dog. Blah blah blah. But here I'll give it to the like if PR did get Aaron and if they did say something to Aaron, I get it, man. You just can't really do that. But God bless Aaron Plessinger. So I wouldn't want to put those guys in that position. You know, professionally.
No. When you're doing it in front of the room, you know, Steve, if you pull them aside and be like, hey, I want to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Can I do it? They might be like, yeah, it's fine or whatever. But when you are in front of the room, you really are putting them in a position where they have no way out.
Yeah. I talked to a rider this week in the 250 class. I said, hey, I hear you're going back to that team. And he's like, yeah, I got an offer. And he was telling me about the bike's not that good, but it's hard to get rides. And he needs to sign. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I agree, man. Yeah. You should stay there. Like, stay there because it's a factory bike and, like, whatever, work with it, right? And, like, that's all stuff that's totally off the record that I'm not going to then ask the guy that in a conversation. I'm not going to blow him out like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I feel that and I would love to know why, the sport is really missing an opportunity. We know that silly season stuff in every sport, and you know from your own reporting, Steve, is a massive thing. And the fact that the sport, the teams, for some reason, are so incredibly scared of it when they should be leaning in. Everyone should be leaning in. The SMX League, as we call it, which is AMA, Feld, AMA collectively, the teams. MotoGP, you see it all the time, JT. They talk about signing in April.
Yeah.
And they're going to race for this team for the next 8 months and be another team next year. And they talk about it. Why? Because it is massive publicity and interest from the fans. And here these teams are like, please, please, please do not talk about it. And it's like, you're only hurting yourself here.
F1, same thing. NASCAR, same thing.
Doing NASCAR, yep.
I'll give you an example.
And by the way, in these stick and ball sports, the reason it's talked about so much is because the agents are so aware of how much publicity they can get for their clients. They purposely leak it to the media to purposely get it out there. Not only is it not secret, they want that out there. They want – the equivalent would be Eli Tomac's side would be like, we want as many people to know that he has multiple offers to make every team nervous and maybe up their offer and get more publicity for my client. And here it's like, please do not talk about this.
The reigning MotoGP world champion put out a statement this past week saying, I will not be on an Aprilia in 2026. Like, he's the champ. And they're halfway through the season. And he's like,
Yep. This
is how it works. They told me I had to sign by this date and I didn't. So I will not be here. Like, it's just, And they, I mean, we're so far from, you know, that even being a thing. But it is funny that it's literally our sport and our sport alone where none of that is, you know, can't talk about any of that stuff.
Yep.
Okay. So that's the, that's great. That's good stuff. By the way, Renthal.com. I want to thank the folks at Renthal. Lock-On Grips doing really, really well. They got some exciting mountain bike parts coming out soon. So stay tuned for that. I'm super stoked to try that. Mountain bike stuff available at power sports dealers nationwide. And of course, chain sprockets. Aaron Plessinger going to a twin wall bar, and he's on a new level because he likes the look of the crossbar, he said. Brother, I just like this look of crossbar. And No, that's what he said. No. Yeah.
There's no way that he is riding better and his performance is improving because he likes the look of the crossbar.
Oh, I thought you meant like from a performance wise. No, there's no performance difference. He just likes a crossbar. So running the twin wall with a little modification, Renthal.com, Monster Energy Kawasaki, Factory Honda as well, Renthal.com. Thank you to those guys. And great company. Probably used some of their products before. And our Maxxis tires as well. Tough weekend for our guy Fast Freddy Norin here on his Maxxis tires. But fan favorite, Fred Norin. Maxxis.com, great mountain bike tires as well. I used the Maxxis Scoop at the regional. Got great starts. Went downhill from there. But I did get great starts thanks to the Maxxis Scoop. Mountain bike tires, mountain dirt bike tires, all of it developed by some guy named Jeremy McGrath as well. And I heard a great McGrath story this weekend from Big B, the Cowie truck driver. So that's fantastic. Maxxis.com, Renthal. Of course, Fly Racing. Use the code PULPMX when you check out at flyracing.com. Try that Formula helmet, that Formula S helmet. It's an app that you put on your phone, and then you wear the Formula S helmet, and then it connects to the app. And then if you crash and you don't move, the app contacts your loved ones. In my case, my loved one wouldn't answer, so it would contact 911 to help me. So please check out the Formula S helmet. It's a helmet that can save your life with the app. So it's really, really cool. Code PULPMX to save with that. All right. Jet Lawrence, Tomac, AP, Justin Cooper, Hunter Lawrence. We got our top five so far, as we mentioned. That group's going well. The post-race podcast I did with Hunter Lawrence was great because I was noticing this from the manager's tower, and I asked him about it. Like, when you have Tomac on you, which Hunter did, and you're trying to hold him off, what's that like? Because we've all heard Tomac's rev limiter, plus you add in the Yamaha sucking air from the front of the bike, and Hunter just, he really gave a really hilarious thing. He's like, sometimes he said he's in a corner and he's wondering if there's a 3-foot-high berm on the outside that he doesn't know about, and is Tomac railing that berm because the bike sounds like it's wide open going around a berm that he said wasn't there. And it's really funny to listen to Hunter describe Eli behind you, because it couldn't be any different. You know, Hunter's technical, Hunter's in the right gear, he's in the right lower RPM, and Tomac is wide open. So really funny stuff from Hunter about racing with Eli and wondering what track is he riding. Is it a different track than I'm riding? Is this the same track? So good stuff from that. Cooper Webb, 7-6. That's Coop's spot. We were laughing because at Paula, Coop was happy about his race at Paula, and he threw in like three times. I was racing MXGP champ, bro. I was racing MXGP champ. Well, we're now three rounds in, and he is racing the MXGP champ or beating him now. So I imagine Coop's over the moon with what's going on, because his bar seems to be the MXGP champion. So
a couple things on that topic. We're just going to save Prado. I'm sure we'll be talking about that momentarily, but the fact that Webb is consistently the same speed as him is a sign of progress is not being made. So that's Prado. On the Webb side, I've been saying all along, I'm here for this. It's going to be a fun summer of hanging out and racing. It's going to be great with no pressure. I think that's cool. But we thought with Sexton going out, he was completely sitting in the catbird seat, JT, on SMX points. But oh no, what a crazy wrench is getting thrown into this program, JT.
Yeah, I think unless things change, racing happens, a couple DNFs one way or another, all this could change. I really think if the trends continue, and I think they will, I think Justin Cooper and AP are going to be 1-2 in some order, and Cooper Webb's going to be 3 going into Charlotte for the playoffs. And I think, I know I did, I think most people assumed when Sexton exited, well, for sure Webb is now, if he sticks around, going to be 1. And to your point, I don't think that's going to be at all. Like, math says that the way we're going, he won't be. And it's going to be crazy if Justin Cooper is the top seed going in. Like, that is not anything I had even considered at any point until we took a hard look at it, and that's what the math says.
That's, well, we brought it up last week with Chase. In our discussion with Chase, we said, hey, Coop's looking really good. This is what he wants. So it's a long way to go, though. But, yes, that is crazy. That would be crazy to see those guys up there.
He's losing points. Like, the math, if it just continues in this fashion, it's definitely going to happen. What we don't know is if Justin Cooper DNFs a moto or AP DNFs a couple, but like it could all shift, but the trajectory it's on, yeah, it's definitely.
RJ Hampshire 6-7. He's been good. RJ's been solid. I don't think he even crashed this weekend. Did he? Did I miss one? I don't think I did. I didn't see a crash. I didn't see him lose time. Like I didn't see him lose a bunch of time or anything. Malcolm Stewart, eighth. He goes 10-10 for eighth. Funny moment in the first moto. Hunter Schlosser goes down kind of before the mechanics area, a couple turns before the mechanics area, and he's just laying there. Cody Shock comes around and gets caught up. It's kind of the off camber, so there's not really anywhere to go. Shock tries to wheelie Hunter Schlosser's bike and goes down. And then Malcolm comes around, sees Schlosser in the middle, sees Shock on the right, tries to do the exact same thing and like blitz over Schlosser's bike and he goes down. It was like three stooges. I was just, Schlosser's just standing there watching these two guys that are like sixth and seventh or seventh and eighth, just crash over his bike trying to get over him. And Malcolm just like, almost like a, like you're trying to clear an obstacle at Erzberg where you just go, like you just fly off the back. Like that's kind of what Malcolm did. It was great. All right, Prado time. Panic button?
Yes.
It is.
Eighth in Moto 1. Eighth in Moto 1. Second Moto, bike problem. Pulled off. Cowie PR, very helpful with that. Yeah, it's not good.
I'm not looking for it. I'm not rummaging around in the drawer for it. Like, it's on the table and I'm smashing it.
Definitely. Yeah, there's been no improvement. It's been exactly the same. The gap, the guy he's battling, which is Webb, there are no signs of improvement through six motos, and now he's got a DNF on top of it.
JT, in my opinion, through the pulp shows or the season, the motocross season preview, was way too high on Prado to me. It's a big change.
His track record in motocross, I don't think it was misplaced at all. Like, yeah, sure, it was certainly wrong as of now, but I mean, think about what Kawasaki's saying. They're paying this guy millions of dollars. Like,
yeah,
you think that I'm the one that was exceeded expectations?
I was just going to say, you didn't let me finish. You interrupted me, as you always do. Terrible. But no, I was going to say, like, he's worse than I thought, too. Like, you were a little too high, thinking podiums or whatever. And then I'm thinking lower half of the Lawrence brothers and Tomek and Sexton, like, lower behind those guys. Not 30 seconds behind those guys, battling with the guys he is. So, like, I also thought he would be better as well. It's not good. Like, look, the new program, the tracks. He's going from a steel-framed Austrian bike that he's ridden forever to the aluminum-framed Japanese bike. But, man, and I mean, it's not good. How's it going to get better? How is he going to start testing and get this thing better and everything else, right?
I've never seen him ride this poorly, and I've been watching him a long time. I've been watching him for a decade. And I've never seen him ride this badly ever. So you can blame him. You can blame the changes. You can blame the bike. You can blame his shoulder. I don't care, honestly. Like, probably all of those. It's probably all of those. And I'm totally fine with it. But I can just tell you what I'm watching is unrecognizable. I would love to, and I will get my opportunity to in another month. I'll head to Europe and I'll get to talk to people who have to be shocked at what they're watching. I'm telling you, guys like Davide DiCarli, super close people to him that have worked with him. Think about DiCarli KTM. He's been there for a very, very, very long time on that team. They basically raised him racing through their program. I might actually message him tonight and say, hey, what the hell am I watching here? Because he knows Jorge's riding and training and mentality better than anybody stateside does. I promise you that. So I don't have answers. I have 10 million questions, but this is the shock so far of the summer for me. Everything else has been fairly predictable. You could say AP upside, some upside surprise. He's been fantastic. But Prado, to me, the shock of the summer by far.
Weege, JT is backing down on his bike claims. I don't like this.
Wanted him to go off right here?
Well, it seems like in group text, he thinks the bike is the problem. More than Jorge. Not 100% the problem, but more than Jorge. And I disagree 100%.
JT?
I do think that he is very unhappy with the motorcycle. And to be completely transparent, I have not heard anybody in 2 years report glowingly about the bike. I haven't heard that at all. So
what would you put the blame pie?
I haven't ridden it.
What would you put the blame pie on bike versus Prado?
It's hard. That's a
please
hard
don't,
thing.
Please don't say 100% the bike. Please don't say 100% the bike.
I don't know this blame pie crap that you have. I don't really subscribe to it. I'm just telling you that he's.
It's literally a thing. The blame pie is a thing.
It's
everyone
your
knows.
Thing.
No,
it's
everyone,
your thing, which I
everyone
just,
talks
it,
about
which
it.
Which I just said I don't subscribe to. Again, I don't think that Jorge's riding very well. Like, optically watching him yesterday on, like, the footage, I was like, what is that? That looked like me riding when I was, like, in my prime. Jorge Prado is 1,000% better of a motocross racer than I ever dreamt of being. That's why it's so shocking when I watch him. So, yes, of course, it's some of him. But where the questions lie and where we're going to disagree and all that is, how much is he, like, uncertain about the bike? He's unwilling to take the risks that everybody has to assume to go really fast. And where is the motorcycle in all this? I don't particularly believe that motorcycle is at the peak level right now amongst its competitors. I do not believe that. And that's okay. Kawasaki could say I'm wrong. They could say I have data to prove. That's okay. Like, I'm just telling you what I believe. I think that they have some serious work to do on the motorcycle. And I think that's been proven out for a couple of years now.
Weej, what's your blame pie here?
Certainly going to go way more bike, I think, than anything else, because I know we build up the one-day format and learning new tracks and all that. And again, I defer to experts that I talk to. James Stewart has been telling me consistently, he's like, that's all overblown. If you know how to ride, you know how to ride. It's a small difference, but it is not a massive difference needing to know the racetrack. And we have seen guys come over from the GPs and be pretty good. Like, not this far off. Maybe Tom Vial was a little better last year in year two than he was in year one. But it wasn't like, this is not even remotely close to the same human being on a motorcycle in year one, Tom Vial, because he didn't know the tracks or the format or the weather or he had to move to the United States. I don't recall. We've seen a lot of guys come over, and they are usually not completely a different person in motocross than they were over there. I can't remember a guy with a drop-off this bad. Now, the one wild card is he was hurt, and he did miss a lot of time. And maybe that's a larger factor than he's letting on. But if it's not that, it's got to be the bike. I don't think it's the one-day format in the new tracks, because we've never seen a guy drop off that big, and then in like year two, and they know the tracks, they're back. It never usually works that way.
Yeah, that's just a small part of it, right? Because there's no way.
It's not. And people are thinking.
Well, we talked to Ken Roczen or Marvin Musquin or Tyler Rattray. They will tell you it is, but it's not a huge thing. But then on the flip side, to counter
They'll
that argument.
Thing, but again, same perfect example. It's not like Ken Roczen in year two in America was way better than he was in year one.
Yeah,
or Rattray, like, or any of those guys.
No, yeah, he just slightly better. Slightly better. Yeah, for sure.
It's not a 1 minute gap at the end of the moto drop.
No. That's what I mean. Like, it's he's a long way from saying it's the track and the format. But on the flip side of the 1 day thing, Clemente Sal shows up and runs top three, at some races, right? Here and there.
We've seen it. They at least are reasonably similar to what they are. This is not the same person.
Two things. One, he's, 3 to 4 seconds a lap off. Like, that is a lot of time. That is a lot of time. It's not even close. But you can see it visually that he's slower. And two, show me something that's good. Show me one thing. Starts, speed, ability to move forward, qualifying, something. Just show me anything that's like any sort of resemblance of what everybody's watched globally. It's not just me. I don't have an exclusive on it. Everybody's watched this guy. We all, like, if you've paid attention at all to him in Europe, it's pretty clear he knows exactly what he's doing. Like, he is a really, really good racer. What I'm watching is not him. Like, if you told me, like, that he pulled the Scooby-Doo mask off and it was somebody else riding, I'd be like, yeah, that totally makes sense. Like, I don't know if that's Brock Tickle or who that is, but that would 100% make sense versus what I'm watching.
No, I saw Tickle during the moto It's not Brock Tickle.
Thank you. Thank you. Just making sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not Brock Tickle.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, one other thing I want to throw in here. This is hilarious to me. No, I think he was talking about Supercross. But when I interviewed Prado November or whatever, when he first officially was unveiled as a Kawasaki rider, I said, did you even have an offer to stay with your old team, which would have been GasGas or conceivably KTM or whatever, either to stay in Europe or America? And he basically said, with a smile, a wink, and a nod, there's no way I wanted to race that bike anymore. He basically made it sound like maybe he just meant Supercross, but he raced a couple last year in Supercross and a GasGas, and he basically made it sound like that bike was horrific, and he couldn't wait to get on this Cowie.
It's odd. Odd that riders would say that. Can't believe it. I'm shocked. I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Listen, Kawasaki, he tested. He said he wanted the bike. He rode the bike before he signed this contract. Mm-hmm. He liked it. He told those guys the motor he wanted. He told them Jason Anderson is putting some great rides on that bike. Not this year. God damn it, I'm doing the blame pie, and I don't care. Blame pie's a thing. I'd go 70-30. Prado. Shoulder.
Whoa.
Tracks. Has he ever really been hurt before, JT? I don't believe so. I think this is the first time he's been hurt for a long time.
Not a significant one.
Right. He's been burning, building, and then now shoulder surgery. I think he had a dislocation, so that would mean they probably cut that ligament and shortened it. Was that what they would do for a dislocating thing? Right? Like it would be loose and then, so it's a pretty major surgery, I think. Yeah, man. Just be better.
Is there any world here where, because I've been told, I don't know numbers, but I've been told that he's paid a lot of money right now. Like top tier of the 450 class money wise. Is there any world where he rode the bike and was like, it's okay. We can get there. I'm sure Kawasaki's assuring him, like, we'll make the changes necessary if you don't like certain things, sure. But the offer it was a 3-year deal for top tier money. And I heard from people who would know that were like, he's getting a lot of money that he's just like, I need to take this deal. It's 3 years in America. And okay, maybe the bike's not perfect, right? Because you say he tested the bike, it's what he wanted. Is there somewhere in here where he's like, I'm going to trust that we'll get the bike to where we need to be. This deal is too good to not take.
I'm going to throw one more piece in that. I don't think it's all that. Maybe there's blame pie here. I think it was Lars. Somebody at Honda, I feel, a year or so ago told me, yes, we can take notes from the MXGP team, but you have to be careful when you do that because a lot of times when one rider hears someone else that races his brand complain, it gives them all an out. And what it makes me wonder is, we've heard plenty of complaints about the KTM and Supercross for years now, dating back to Cooper Webb and now Chase Sexton, etc. I wonder if he had already decided the KTM / GasGas, if I'm going to come and race Supercross, sucks. And then the shiny new toy over there automatically becomes awesome. Steve, this is the topic you love more than anything else. It's all in their head. What I'm on now sucks. Yeah, everybody tells me it sucks, which are other riders telling me it sucks that are also on the bike. And that thing over there is going to change my life. I think that was a huge factor.
Guess who probably loves the Kawasaki right now? Thinks it's awesome.
To be riding for KTM?
He's banged up right now, but I guarantee you that dude loves the Cowie. Can't wait.
Yep.
But hold on. There's no way. I understand what you're saying. It's probably very fair to say that. He has to be watching what's happening and going, like, his eyeballs are this big around at watching these guys race around out there. There's no way he's not. Like, I will not entertain that he's not doing that. He may be, and he also may be in the same breath, well, they're not me, so I'm going to be better.
Dude.
Maybe true. That may be true. But it's still alarming what you're watching.
No, we're talking about Sexton here. Sexton in 2023, when he's leaving Honda to go to KTM, Cooper Webb was pretty good on a KTM in Supercross that year. He wasn't watching that like he would be with the Cowies. Right now,
he's that meme of the guy just rubbing his hands together, watching Anderson and Prado. You don't think that's Chase?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not good. So we'll see. And Anderson had a rough weekend. Obviously, Cowie DNF both second motos. It's not ideal. And yeah, not good. Anderson came in late for the altitude stuff, and look, he's leaving there, so I'm guessing Jason Anderson's effort is not going to be super high from here on out. We'll see.
I did hear Sakamoto last week, though. Was Prado behind him at some point? I didn't see them battling, but Culpepper, like, dude, when Anderson sees Prado trying to catch him, he ramps up the effort big time.
Yeah, I'm sure. So Valentin Guillaume, ninth overall. This is the story right now. This is the Roman Pep, Boutron, Gavin Graysick, Freddie Norin, insert cool story here. He's on a bone stock bike. He's a Swiss rider. He rode Thunder Valley in 2010, the Motocross of Nations, and I asked him, did it help?
Wow.
And he said no. he did say he wished he was 17 again, though, when he was like he was in 2010.
Somebody who's great with data, I would love to run numbers here and see, but for six motos, and I know it's going to be a little wonky because both of them haven't finished every moto, but what's the average distance at the checkered flag between Prado and Guillaume in these six motos, and then historically in MXGP? Tell me what that is, and that's going to tell you a lot about what you need to know about Prado right now.
So I talked to Guillaume afterwards, and yeah, really cool guy, right? He wants to get a ride here. He wants to impress, he said. He can leave his situation in a moment. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Rock River didn't lock him in for a bunch of money. So he can leave, you know, if there's a fill-in ride or something else, he can leave, and he wants to do Supercross. And I said to him, I'm like, dude, like, what happened to you? Like, you just disappeared for a couple of years, and, like, you know, then all of a sudden you were good again. And, dude, he went into it, man. He was super cool talking about his mental health. He was training with Yves Demarier. He left there. He couldn't get his body figured out. He had all these problems going on with fatigue. He said his 91-year-old grandmother beat him up a hill. They were walking up a hill, and she left him in the dust. Yeah, he got deep into it. And then he figured it out, and he barely rides now. He can't ride too much because he's not strong enough or whatever. Almost like an Epstein Barr, but he said, no, not Epstein. He knew what I was talking about. Super cool story. Super cool, interesting guy. Really happy to be here, and he's very happy with how he's doing. And, it's a cool deal. And ninth overall for Valentin Guillaume. So,
says he wants to ride SMX if he can get in. That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the replacement ride thing. That'd be cool.
Joey Savacci, 9-16. Joey crashed in Moto 2. First moto, he lost his header pipe. Second moto, he crashed, 9-16. I interviewed him while he was over at Mitch Payton's truck. I said, dude, you can't ride here. You pointed out. Stop it. Get out of here. And then they were playing it off like he was going to be back in their pro circuit truck. Benny Bloss, 13-13. Benny got a lot of passing points. Benny rode really well. He was way far back. And I didn't pick him in fantasy because I didn't go to Hangtown. I was hating
fantasy
on him.
Pod. Yeah. Fantasy pod, you were hating on him.
I was. And, dude, he was outside the top 20, I think, both motos. I went 13-13. Good job, Beta Benny. Good work. Harry Coolis. We got life from Harry Coolis. Do we have a Bondo reaction?
We had a Stu reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Stu found out he was wearing 7, and he was stoked. So now we got the whole TV crew on this.
And also, does Stu know that Weimer is currently going on the road to Loretta's wearing 7?
50-50.
Okay.
Sounds unlikely.
Also, Coolis rode Des Nations as well in 2010. We had another guy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, Coolis and Guillaume, both there.
That's 15 years ago.
So, I got to shout out Colt Nichols because he qualified poorly. And then the first moto, dude, he was, I don't know. He looked like me. No, not that bad. But he was, dude, 18th. Just grinding it out with guys that probably are plumbers and carpenters. And I'm like, holy shit, Colt. Like, that's terrible. And then he DNF'd. And I'm like, wow. And then I was looking at Brooks in the manager's tower thinking, what is Larry thinking right now? He's like, I had McGrath. And, you know, now he's watching this.
Chad.
Yeah. Because Pacharel had bike problems all day. Pacharel, I talked to him a little bit. Bike problems all day. Couldn't get it going. But I want to turn it around. Nichols turned it around to get ninth in the second moto. I don't know what happened. I went to go find him. He was gone. I need to text him. Good job turning around an absolute garbage day to get ninth. Colt Nichols. I don't know how he did it, but that was impressive. Because it wasn't going well.
Yeah, I didn't have that in the bingo card. I'm just like, this is going to be a woeful day.
Yep.
I expected to like walk by the truck at the end of the day and just see their bikes on stands and just like everything would just turn to black and white, like just depressing music would come out and everything. I can't believe that he actually ended up with a decent result.
Shock. How about Cody Shock? I had him in fantasy, so that kind of sucked for me. But dude, hole shot, led a lap. The great Justin Brayton, he said he was talking to Brayton about hole shots. So it all came. I almost threw up in my mouth at the end of the day when I was interviewing him, because now Brayton
review
comes
that
into
again.
It.
How did that go? What happened?
Oh, I was talking to Shock. I said, "Dude, you hole shot," and he said, "Yeah, I've been at Club MX. I've been talking to JB about pulling some hole shots, and we were joking about it, but yep."
And then he did pull a hole shot.
And then he pulled a hole shot. Yeah.
Cool. just wanted you to state the facts. Yep.
Perfect 10.
Good job for the Club MX team, though. That's got to be cool for them. And Cody rode really well. Like again, talking about Prado, until that Hunter Schlosser moment, he was on Malcolm, who was on Prado. So Club MX, Cody Shock on Prado. So
this is
– we got some music in the, we got music in the background. Somebody got music going on? No? Okay. All right.
I don't know. All right. I have a – for those watching – I'm still in Colorado. I was going to use the OnX Maps promo to explain my location. I don't know when we're getting to that in this show. I'm still in Colorado. That's my daughter back there, and we're hanging out at the hotel, ready to go sightsee when this pod is over. So if you're wondering why I have people walking around.
She witnessed you losing your laptop. She witnessed you getting your car stuck. She witnessed a 24-hour travel day to get to Colorado. Yeah. She's loving it. She's like McDonald's.
The upside. Yes, I left my laptop because I was trying to upload Weed Show with the world's slowest internet. It was a 2-hour and 45-minute upload. So I was trying to ride the lightning there. That didn't work. And yes, everything else was horrific this weekend from a travel perspective, but she enjoyed it.
And now she's watching her dad do a podcast in a hotel room. Catch the
fever. I flew
all
the way to Denver, and I'm sitting in a hotel. My dad is doing a podcast. Can we get a shirt made of that?
All right, we can hold this thing around. Okay, so good job, Cody Shock. And when he crashed into the fly structure, by the way, JT, great advertising on that one. He was way back and he fought up to get points. So good job, Cody Shock. All right, Mitchell Harrison, anything else? Shout out Whisperin' Smith.
Where's he from?
Oklahoma.
Oh.
Bad day for Freddie Norn. I mentioned that. Derek Kelly had one good moto, one bad moto. Derek Drake, one good moto, one bad moto. Anderson, terrible moto. And panic button for Prado, 450s. Yeah? Covered it?
I missed this last couple weeks. Good to see the 199 of John Short back out there for outdoors this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Absolutely.
Mustache in the game.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I said on the show, who's going to win more overalls, Jet or Deegs? And I said Jet. Everyone else said Deegs. I'm up one so far.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No victory laps. Not doing victory laps, but just scoreboard.
It's literally what you just did.
No. All right. Thanks to folks at Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Code PULPMX to save with them. Renthal Maxis as well, and motorsport.com. They got a ultimate ride sweepstakes going on. They're giving away a YZ450 right now, bike of the year. And thanks to the folks at motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out. Free shipping on everything. What are you shaking your head at?
Bike of the year. Just what? Throwing it out.
Free shipping on everything over $79 at motorsport.com. And whether it's Fly Racing or Renthal or Maxis, you can get it there. And yeah, man, they got, like I said, a contest going on. It's free to enter, and they give away a bunch of cool prizes. Thank you to those guys. And also Brunt Work Boots. I'm not a working man, but guys like Pedro, guys like in the pits that are running around, real workers, they're running Brunt Boots, code PULPMX to save. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. Again, not me, but the hard workers. $10 off.
I saw Haley Shanley have an Instagram post over the weekend.
Oh.
She was reporting with her Brunt boots. So there you go.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
She wasn't at the race with us this weekend, but apparently also a hard worker with Brunt boots. So good on
Brunt you. They're not just about work boots either. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs. Again, nothing jobs that I do, but tough jobs. From heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets, Brunt designs durable, reliable workwear to help you protect it. All right. 250 class. What a day. Fly Racing's Chance Hymus, fastest qualifier, two hole shots, led every lap, goes 1-1. I think Ryan Dungey had about 20 of these days. I remember doing some sort of count on that back in the observations days of Ryan Dungey. But these are the days, just, yeah, he's good at Lakewood. We know that anyways. And also bummed out that he couldn't get points in second moto at Hangtown at all last week. Food poisoning, we all went through that. But, yeah. So
we, is this the real perfect 10?
Well, no. I mean, there's only one perfect 10. But I will say, Steve, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, it was a very Justin Brayton-like performance.
Oh, yeah. No, if you – the number of times that JB did this outdoors, it's – yeah, no.
Legend outdoors, yes.
So I pulled up the points. Yeah, he's almost 50 back. He's 49 points back, Hymus. Because, again, he just – Deegan rode great. Deegan nursed a bike problem in Moto1 and went 2-2, so he only gained 6 points. But all right, I think this – and JT, Hymus is good at high point. Hymus is good at high point.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a few things. I really did feel like Hymus was going to win some of this. There was too much there last year between Redbud and high point, and we just saw it too many times. His Unadilla, crazy speed until he threw it away. Like, winning something here was going to be inevitable. The question was, could he bring it every single time, not have the outlier motos that are going to give Deegan too many points? And he's already proven that's a no. So we already have kind of both answers to what we thought would happen is, yes, winning some. Could that be a championship run? Which I feel like is a no. So not a lot of surprise here. To me, it was just the surprise of how dominant he was. And then secondary to that, everyone, also me, give Hayden a lot of grief for things he says, things he does, social posts, trolling people. Like, there's a lot there to unpack. I thought he handled this pretty well because it could have been very easy for him to start talking crap, really be super defiant, really not give Chance any credit. And I thought it was surprising how well he handled it. He said Chance rode really well. He said, if 2-2 is a bad day for me, I'm doing pretty well. A lot of people give him a lot of crap when he doesn't handle things the way that I think that, most people would, how I would want to handle it if it was me. This time, I thought he kind of did. So we should recognize it when he handles it professionally too. It needs to go both ways. And I thought this time he handled it pretty well.
We should recognize when someone handles something professionally. That's where we're at. Great
I'm
job.
Just saying, if we're going to hammer him for not, which I do, I have done myself. I'm talking to myself also in this. We also need to, I'm not saying we have to like shower him with gifts. I'm just saying it probably needs to be mentioned that he kind of handled it the way you'd want to in this scenario.
That's where the bar is at though, which is not the greatest bar, but I agree.
If you want to make this a negative about him,
I'm not. I'm just
okay. All I'm saying was I was waiting for it. I was waiting for the cannon fodder to start coming out of his mouth going at Hymus because he won, and we got none of that. We got the complete opposite of that.
I do think he would have got Chance had his bike not started acting up. He closed a 5-second gap to like a second, and
well,
we know.
But he didn't even say that.
No,
he didn't even say that.
Because we know how good he is late in the motos, Deegs. So I was waiting for that. Now, obviously, the bike problem became. But second moto, second moto was awesome. Great. It'd be interesting to see. Yeah. Do we get a Hymus cooked? Maybe we don't.
I don't think so. Like, I think for me, the differentiator is the points. The 49 points, Hayden just looks at it and goes, deep down, he knows Chance is fast. Like, you don't race someone this much and watch him beat you at times, watch him at Unadilla going, like, he knows he's fast. That's not even a question. Mm-hmm. I just think Hayden's looking at it going, points-wise, I'm in such good shape after 3 rounds, I don't even have to think about it. Like, who's really there? Like, Joe was the only one that was kind of hanging in there, and then Joe didn't have his best day in Colorado, so the points rocketed away from him. Also on Saturday. So, like, I think he's kind of taking it in stride. But I don't know. I know you and Brian, Steve, don't get along. There's a lot of drama there. So I get it. I'm just saying the pendulum needs to swing both ways. If you're going to say things that I don't like in the past, and then you handle things, which I'm sure he wasn't thrilled about going 2-2. There's no part of him that I think was happy about that. He kind of just took his medicine and moved on.
What do you think, Weege? Jaime's going to start emerging maybe as the most threatening rider?
Well, I have said that I think internally that he is the guy with the highest ceiling, and I think that is part of the reason that he's maybe Deegan's had a lot of targets, but I think he's been the primary one, and it goes back to me when you heard that the star guys were trying to jack with Jaime's last week or last year in qualifying, which I don't think they've done with Vial or Kitchen or Shimoda or the other really good 250 guys. I think this is like an industry collective experts thing of like, man, Jaime's has the potential to be a real problem, maybe a bigger problem than anyone else. Kitchen, I think, maybe could be on that level also, potentially. So I'm not saying it's going to happen for Jaime's, but I think anyone racing against Jaime's, and that would mean Deegan and everybody on Star, this is what you worry about. If this dude puts the pieces together, he could be a real problem. And this is at least a sign that he's putting those pieces together. I know it's a track that he's good at, and maybe that's what it all comes down to, but I think his ceiling is really difficult. He's his own worst enemy. If he could figure it out, look out.
Weege, he said he likes ruts. Post-race show.
He did. And there's ruts at High Point. We'll see. I mean, the potential, I think, has always been there. And that's the scary part for everyone racing him. You're almost counting on, like, hopefully he doesn't put it together.
He can win. I think the other side of that where, you know, anybody, all the bedbugs would just say, show me continuity. Show me any sort of repeatable pattern here over time that's going to lead to cutting down 49 points. That's
now,
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Jaime's won Red Bud last year with like a 3-1 or something.
Yeah. 4-1. He went 1-4 last year at Thunder Valley. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to say, this is by far his best national performance. This is, you know, like his other wins that he's gotten has never been like this. So you got to think this is going to give him some confidence for sure.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a little, if you're racing against him, if you're Deegan and you're Star, you're like, oh crap. We were always hoping that he was never going to figure it out. I hope this doesn't mean he figured it out. If you're racing against him. If you're Honda and you're Jaime's, you're like, we just figured it out.
Yeah. Levi Kitchen went from 20th to 8th in Moto 1 and from 9th to 3rd in Moto 2. He needed to get Shimoda late in that race for the 3rd overall. That was awesome. It was cool to watch.
What were his lap times, man?
Dude,
that'd be insane.
He was flying.
Yes.
I asked... Masterpool was giving him a hell of a run in Moto 2, and you could see that Levi was quicker, but just couldn't get by him. And Masterpool was doing some little bit of blocking from what I saw, but hey, whatever, it's racing. And then I mentioned to Kitch afterwards, I'm like, what about that battle? He's like, yeah. He goes, Ty was literally throwing up for the moto, so I knew that he wasn't 100%. What is going on with Masterpool? Because everyone's saying he's throwing up every weekend. I've heard Masterpool's throwing up. Weege, right? You've heard this?
Yeah, he said he felt better than he did on Friday. He told me he felt better than he did Friday at Hangtown, but he was still sick. And this is what I say with Masterpool. This is why I had to remove my hype for Masterpool, because it's just always something, man.
Yeah, so you always hear like, oh, dude, he was throwing up. But, you know, that's a lot of that could be bullshit from the trainers and parents or whatever. But like Levi Kitchen, his competitor, was like, yeah, man, he's throwing up. You know, like he really was.
Like, I was born somewhere. It's like, yeah, that was me every moto.
Yeah, But
that's true.
So Marchbanks, 3-8, 4th overall. Those two guys, Kitchen and Marchbanks, were phenomenal. I would have loved to see them get starts with Jaime's and Deegan. Like, do they beat them? I don't know. Maybe not. Like, whatever. But, dude, Jaime's and Deegan are not running by 30 seconds if those two Cowie guys start 3rd and 4th or whatever. They were riding great.
The top two guys were the top two guys, in my opinion.
Marchbanks crashed in a second turn in second moto, whipped his transponder off. So then I was even more confused what was going on because I saw him move up there. Then I saw him go down, like move back and then move forward. And Marchbanks is 3rd in the points. He's the surprise right now. Really riding well, riding for a contract. As our guy Phil Weege likes to remind us in group texts all the time. But Marchbanks has been really good. Yeah.
Big March Banks fan is Phil. Third points. Wow. I feel like he's been riding awesome, but even still, I'm surprised. When you think about who that means, he's beating Vial Shimoda, Kitchen, for example. I know they've had some bad races, but still, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, those guys rode well. Mitch was really happy after the race, for sure. Third, fourth. Vial, fifth. Yeah. 6-5. Shimoda 9-4. Casey Cochran 13-6 for seventh. Good job, Casey Cochran. Second moto was good. Yeah. First moto, him and Ryder D going at it. Gas, guys. There was a big battle there between those two guys in the first moto. And Schwartz, 1 week after I said Schwartz can never get starts, Schwartz gets starts. 10-10 for Dylan Schwartz.
10-10 is so Dylan Schwartz, man. That's so Dylan Schwartz.
How about Harup, too? First moto.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, really good.
Harup is the, I think, a point in the you can figure the tracks out somewhat quickly. It doesn't have to be all – everything's different track-wise in that category.
Second moto, he crashed up on top of the hill, and he was dead last. Came from basically dead last to 13th in Moto 2. He was way, way back. So that was a good ride to go 7, 13. And then, of course, you know, he ran third for a while in Moto 1. So, yeah, I think, honestly, Lewis and I did a podcast, and we talked about Harup getting top fives and maybe the podiums. And I think that's on the table, right? You guys agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Masterpool 416. What's Masterpool's first motos to second motos results right now? Is it the most drastic in the history of motocross through three rounds?
I think it goes back to this
weirdo
illness.
Yep. Max Volin 12-9. Jordan Smith crashed in the first lap of the first practice on the roll lap, he said, and hurt his shoulder. He was not very happy about himself doing that, so. Drew Adams' bike blew up Moto 2, and in practice they had an electrical problem. Whoa. So, yeah.
Okay.
Electrical issue in Moto 1, and then I made a joke to the person who told me that, like, yeah, right, like spark plug, right? The old spark plug. And they said, no, it really was. It was a wiring harness issue. And then the second moto, his bike did blow up. Mitch told me they had a little problem with the bike. So.
But he's been riding good. The second moto at Hangtown, I think, was good.
Well,
two.
Excuse me. Fifth in Moto 1 from, like, what?
Yeah.
13th ish? 12th ish?
Yeah.
For Drew?
I think you're now starting to see the signs of what, you know, he's supposed to be really good. And I think these last three motos, you've at least seen the riding if the results weren't there. Doesn't matter.
Yep. Caden Minear made his.
Mark Banks, by the way. I don't care what they say. I had them stand side by side at Press Day on Friday for Weed Show.
Uh-huh.
And he's still saying March Banks is bigger. There's no way, man. There's no way.
He's what? Sorry, you broke up.
He's saying March Banks is still bigger than him, and I'm, like, looking at them standing next to each other. I think he's taller and bigger overall.
I like in those wrestling, they should just have March Banks and Adams in a ring, and just everyone runs in Weege, and they grab Deegs and Hymus, and they throw them out, and, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Step over the top rope.
Mosman, Ryder D, 15-14. Mosman was good again, and then I think his bike broke Moto 1. I believe his bike broke when he was in the top 10, and then he got 7th the second moto. So Mosman's had some tough luck, because you look at Hangtown second moto, threw away a 4th, right, late. So Mosman's been better than the results show. And Caden Minear, 18-12. Thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't know the rule that once you race one national, you can't do the combine or SMX next, all the things they're calling it now. He said he would still probably be racing Loretta's. Do you think after that 12th, and it was almost a 10th, there's any chance that he races Loretta's? I mean, is it 99% that Star just says, yep, you're pro? That's what I would guess.
I don't know. Now I heard this Landon Gordon kid is going there now, the Cowie kid.
The Star?
It's a Star. He signed a Star. What is going on?
Who does Star not take from Cowie besides Adam?
Landon Gordon a Will Hahn guy? So that would that's pretty linear transition there.
But if I'm Landon Gordon and I'm like the top Team Green amateur, why am I going to a team with a bunch of other amateurs that seem full? I don't know, man.
Does Mitch's team seem like there's a lot of openings there?
No. I think he's got one spot. Yeah, and who knows? Yeah. I don't know, man.
But I think they're trying to, like, I still think they're trying to get Kai to Wolf. Like, I don't – if you watch Landon Gordon racing right now, I don't think it's like a shoe-in that Mitch is like, yeah, we're taking that guy right now. Like, I don't think that's the case. Like, he's been good. Don't get me wrong. He's been good. But, like, I don't know. You one know spot for Mitch, I don't know that he's a lock to get that.
You know what's funny, though, is, like, you did hear a lot about Mitch slow-playing Drew Adams, too. Like, I'm not sure we're going to, you know, we're not moving him up. We don't know. Like, right? There's a lot of that. We all agree with that. And then, like, to me, Drew's awesome. This is going great. He's really fast. So
I believe that Drew was further along last year than Landon is right now. When I watch him race, Landon definitely has some liability in the whoops still, which would, I think, be an issue for top tier 250 Supercross. And like at the combine, or like the Hangtown combine, he's okay. Like, he had nothing for Meneer, like nothing. So I don't know. Like, he's doing fine. But if you have an offer to go to Star on the table, I understand why he'd take it.
I don't, but all right.
It's crazy how many guys Star gets from. I mean, that's like two or three ex-Team Green guys I got on their team right now.
I think they get a little bit of money from Monster for every amateur they have. They get subsidized a little bit, but it still can't be, you know, enough.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense to me because the guys they're poaching are literally from Team Green and Cowie, which is also Monster. So I don't get that.
Not Davies and Meneer. They were KTM dudes, but.
No, but they have Caleb Wood. They're doing this all the time.
Wait, Cowie guys. Caleb Wood?
Carson Wood. There's Caleb Wood and Carson Wood were both Team Green guys, and maybe I got the wrong. Literally, they're both on the team.
It's shameful that you don't know these amateurs, Weech. It's just shameful. Yeah. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Well, hey, I'm not the huge Loretta's guy trying to qualify like you.
Yeah. No, I was deep in the trenches.
I know it's your thing.
I watched Zing and Wei and Gordon all race 2 days at Paula. So, yeah. Okay. Bo Mayer had a terrible day because I picked him in fantasy. So, thanks, Julian. That's great. Really bad day for Juju. Qualified well. That's why I picked him. So he crashed second moto. He was trapped under his bike in second moto for a while. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way, too, what happened to the button in the second moto to Lars? Button worked great in moto one. What happened to the button?
All right. Brandon Haas has the button, I guess.
Wow. Okay. Yep. I met
Caden Dudney. That was the other one I'm thinking. Caden Dudney, another Team Green guy that Star took last year.
So Lars had like – this was Brandon Wilson at Honda. He's ahead of Lars, right? He's a really important guy. I met a more important guy this weekend.
Yep.
Yes. I did a Honda event last week, and they introduced me to the more important guy and then said more important guy would be at Thunder Valley, and I saw him again.
Yeah. So then – and then we had to explain to the more important guy the button. And he seemed – he laughed about it, so he understood it.
He didn't know about the button.
What?
He did not know about the button?
No, he didn't know anything about the button. Hmm. I'd explain myself like a stupid internet radio show, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. So,
Hymus's button was working.
Hymus's button was money.
Hey, Hymus has what, 3-4 hole shots in 6 motos? He hole shot the first moto of the year.
4, I think.
I think he hole shot first moto last week, right?
Yeah. 4 out of 6.
Dang, bro.
I want our audience to know, too, we're trying to work on this Honda Hole Shot Challenge, but JT is throwing massive wrenches into this thing, and that no one knows why. So we're working on it. It still may happen.
No one knows why.
No, there's one reason. There's one reason that JT
but we don't know why that's the reason. Myself and Lars.
Because I've never done it in my entire life, and you want me to just go out there and do it.
Like, neither have I.
It's all about the great. For listeners, JT doesn't want to do it on a great.
Yes.
I haven't done a great start either.
You have a factory motorcycle, Steve.
But what does it matter? The technique of a great is the technique of a great. Like, I don't know how to start on a great either.
But you have this, you have a massive advantage, which I'm trying to offset because I am a superior motorcycle rider than you. That's where this all kind of happens. If now you get a better motorcycle, we both never start on a great. I don't know what's going to happen. And the simple fact is if you beat me, my life ends wherever this happens.
But if we're starting on dirt, I have a superior motorcycle also.
Yes, but I've done 50 million starts on dirt in my life. And I've done, feel very confident.
And I've done 25 million starts on dirt. Like, you know, like, I don't...
No,
we,
like, Your amount of starch on dirt versus mine cannot possibly be compared.
Weege, does this make sense to you? Judge Wygant, does this make sense?
I would be very disappointed if this thing doesn't happen because of this.
But does it make sense,
Weege? The hardest part, Team Honda saying you can have a factory motorcycle. That's handled. But the grain.
Okay, I will give me Jet's bike. You can have Hunter's bike, and we'll do it on grades.
That's not the contest, though. That's not the idea.
I'm just trying to find a solution here.
There's no solution to dirt, though. Like, we can't do it on dirt. There's not.
Yes, sure you can.
How?
Washougal has amateur gates that they run all day. All day. They run starts there all day.
But
we just go over there.
Yeah. No, it's the same start. They just lay the grates down.
No, it's not.
Where's the start for amateur day?
Over where the pro start used to be.
I don't know.
You remember the pro start, the old pro start?
Yeah.
That's where the amateur start still is over there.
Can we tell MX Sports on press day or Thursday or something to just leave two grates up? Just leave two gates without grates for an hour.
Honestly, I think they're not even going to let us do this anyway. They're going to go, wait, you guys want to do what? We're going to have to try to do this sneakily.
No, JT's part of the TV show. Like, Brayton was doing laps at podium speed, I might add.
Well,
Supercross.
Lars and I are mystified, and it's a shame that this may not happen. We don't know.
I got berated by Hunter, Jet, Dazzy at dinner on Friday. Don't worry.
What? About what? The great?
About him and hawing about this, yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay, good, good. I'm glad. I'd love to hear that.
Good. I knew you'd be very
love
excited.
Love to hear this, because
very aware.
Hunter did
they actually sought JT out. We were not at dinner with them. We were at the same restaurant. They were leaving, and they sought out JT to be like, what's the problem, bro?
Yep.
So Hunter was actually texting me about this. I was blown away because I put some on Twitter. Then Hunter said, what about beating me on the start? And I said, yeah, man, I went too far. That was my bad. I got a little excited. And he said, oh, okay, all right. Because originally, remember, that was the original premise.
Yes, yes.
Well, that was their point, Dazzy, Hunter, Jet, that you're going to be fine. Greats are easy. You're dialed. And I'm like, listen who's talking. You guys hole shot every freaking moto of every national ever. Like, yeah, of course you think it's easy. Also, I'm not going to have your bike. Your bike is going to be in the hands of this other gentleman. So nothing you're saying carries weight.
All right. Well, stay tuned, everyone.
JT, is there any place you can see? Oh, you probably need a day. And I don't mean a full 12-hour day. I mean, you just need some time away from public viewing.
Yep. If I can get some reps in.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
No. I've never started on greats either. So I want time as well.
That's fine with me too. I don't care. Like, I'm 100% confident if it's even situations. I just don't know what to expect here. I don't know what gearing. I don't know anything about this, right? I'm not rolling up there completely about to be blindsided with you and your nuclear missile Honda. I'm not doing that blind. No way.
This is unbelievable. Okay. All right.
Well, Steve, I feel like that's the point you were trying to make the whole time.
What? Yeah.
The nuclear missile factory motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what would be a great one?
A slug like
I'll
me.
I'll take Hunter's bike. You take Prado's bike.
Okay, yeah. Hey, you know what? Factory Cowie seems super flexible and super down
with
that.
I will do that blind.
Okay.
I'll take one of their bikes. You take Prado's bike. We'll go on the greats whenever you want.
I think I could outstart Prado right now on Jet's bike, the way it's going.
You know what blew my mind, though? I was picking photos to put stuff on the RacerX site this morning, and Prado's starts weren't as bad as I thought this weekend.
First moto was good.
Exactly. Yeah. He was like fifth or something. He was actually pretty much – he might have been ahead of Tomac. He was close.
Yeah. They're not horrible. It's not horrible. But no. You're talking about the most proficient starter in the history of MXGP is who we're talking about, though.
No, but what I'm getting at is – he's starting relatively close to that five pack.
Oh, he's not even close on the racetrack.
Then they're still beating him by a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like he's starting 15.
Yeah, he's not Mike LaRocco here.
No.
Right.
You'll appreciate this on like what we call our jerk cam. I don't have lap times, right?
Oh,
all I have are the gaps on like on the left side of the screen on the pilot.
Yeah.
I can tell how slow Prado was going by the gap each lap. It was like 7, then 11, then 14, then 18, then 21, then 25. Dude. And I'm like, holy hell, man, this is not going well. And I know, easy math, he's 3 to 4 seconds a lap off, which is an eternity for these guys.
I talked to Forkner after the race, and first time I've talked to him for a while, and he said, he's never raced this far along into the season. He's got to get used to this. Normally he's been hurt and rehabbing, and it's been a long year for him. He kind of made an insinuation that it's been a longer year for him, and he said, he has to get his mind wrapped around his new level, his new area that he's at. It's tough. So
it's round 3 of pro motocross. Wow. Got a long way to go, dude.
Yep. All right. Anything else? 250 wise?
Onyx Maps. We never mentioned Onyx Maps.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Onyx Maps.
Do that.
Well, we can talk about this. I ran my first 5K, maybe ever.
I'm impressed.
I got these Vaporfly shoes.
Oh god.
And I ran my first 5K, and so then I was sneaking. This goes into Onyx Maps because you can do jogging trails. I was sneaking your Strava. So I did a 5K in 10:56 average time. 10 minutes, 56 mile average time.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what does professional runner Wygant do it in? Because you are sneaky athletic. You are a runner. And you were 9:08. So I thought I would have been closer. But so you still got me covered by a long ways. But yes.
The nines, though, I usually run 4 to 5. I think I could do in the eights for a 5K. But whatever. I've learned firsthand that exercise is very specific. So I know you do a ton of cycling. I didn't know it would translate into you could just run 3 miles out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just
second
like that.
Time.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Vaporflies. Pookie called them, air blades. She said, did you have your air blades on? And I'm like, what?
You know what I just realized, though? Similar to this Honda situation, my 908 miles are not with Vaporflies. So this is really not comparable.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we know you'll spend the money on Vaporflies.
You'll probably get 250.
Are they
used ones?
260.
250?
250. And then I got all these experts in my DMs. You do, Vaporflies are only, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you. They're only good for racing. Guys are saying they're going to hurt me. I didn't see Nike.com with a little banner say, these are going to hurt you to run in. Like, calm down, everybody. All right.
I mean, there might be something to, like, you can have, I don't know why we're even discussing this in depth. Yes, when you race, you do run shoes that don't have as much cushion because cushion does, they weigh more, it takes a little energy out, and it's going to hurt your knees and back in the long run. But you're like, I don't care. This is 1 hour of my life with one time.
Oh,
you don't
I
necessarily
see.
Train in them. So maybe that's the theory.
Dude, these things feel like so cushy. It's not even funny. They feel like like massively cushy. So I don't know, man. Anyways,
can we get
all right,
Onyx Maps. Figured out? Can we just get this? Oh, sorry. Yeah,
no. No, listen. This is a joke. The Greats thing is a joke. This is fans want to see this. This
yeah, is yeah we're, past that. We're past that. You talked your Vaporflies. He needs to do Onyx Maps. We got to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm in Colorado right now. Enjoying a hotel room, getting to see the great outdoors and everything it has to offer out here. So if you're smarter than me, you'll use Onyx Maps and they'll tell you tons of places to do tons of great outdoor stuff, which I am not doing right now. There you go. Onyxmaps.com.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate that. By the way, on the results, it says John Short the 4th. Did you guys know this? I meant to bring this up.
Wow. A long legacy.
Yeah. I didn't know there was 4 John Shorts. But there is. All right. That's Lakewood. We're on to High Point this weekend. Another good week. Weather-wise, do we have a report? It's early. Do we know? Okay. Guillaud was asking me, does High Point get hot? And I say, yeah, it can be. And he goes, which ones are hot? And I'm like, oh, Buds Creek is hot. Millville's hot. Ironman's hot. So he's already getting ready for that, the hot ones.
Oh, one thing about High Point, which I don't know how many people know this. There was like a hellacious like windstorm like maybe 2 months ago, and the entire announcer's tower, and you guys have been there, that's a big building, is gone.
Dude, that's right.
The two-story massive tower is no more. Like, it just collapsed.
How did they build a new one?
the joke at Fox Raceway a couple weeks ago with Tanner Coombs, Timmy Coombstone, is like, hey, I noticed that at the Nations, you guys were announcing from basically a stage.
A wooden platform. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, that might be what we have at High Point.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez. Yeah. High Point's a good one. Who can forget 2000? KTM's first ever win, kicking off the run of success that they enjoy today. No one. Kelly Smith.
Chase is certainly celebrating with you.
He loves the Cowie. He's going to love the Cowie. Best bike ever. And Jorge, yeah. Anyways, all right.
Well, once Chase gets off that Honda and gets on that KTM.
Once Jorge gets off that gas and gets on that Cowie.
And look, I know people are going to hear this and think we're making fun of Jorge Prado and Chase Sexton. They're just the 101st and 102nd guys to do this exact same thing over the last 50 years.
They all do
it. This is just how it goes, dude.
Yeah, it does. At least like in JT's dumb MotoGP sport, like there's literally advantages in motorcycles, right? Like you're like, hey, the Ducati on the high-end tracks or the tighter tracks, Yamahas right. work better. Yeah. Or these guys use Pirellis and the Pirellis are – What?
Yeah. No, there's not like, anymore. It's just Ducati everything. Okay. Not anymore. It's just okay. If you have a Ducati.
No. But to that end, JT, look at Steve's guy, Quattanaro, who was the best MotoGP guy for about a year and a half. And then once the Ducati's figured it out, there are times where he's getting, what, 17th?
They're finally getting it. He got three poles in a row. But yes, he went from 2021 world champ to like every weekend 15th. In like 2023 and 2024.
So, JT, when these guys in your sport say this, it's legit. It's backed up. It's factual. It's all of this.
But not in motocross. It's just motocross. Everybody's bikes are awesome. That's what you're saying.
I guess Club MX just has smarter guys than Factory Cowie because Cody Shock is right there.
Ask Bonacci.
All right, everybody. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, Renthal, Maxis, Motorsport.com, Brunt Work Boots, Onyx Maps. Thanks for watching the review. Appreciate it. Weeds, JT. Thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't